ABC Radio Australia.
Well, you may not think people in Kiribati have much in common with residents of Alaska and far North America, but they both have first-hand experience of the effects of climate change. And a conference has brought together Indigenous people from around the globe to discuss how to live in places that may soon be uninhabitable. Yara Murray-Adfield has the story.
The Alaskan town of Girdwood is very different to Penelise Alofa's home country of Kiribati.
It's a totally different place from my home. It's very cold. It's very high. There are beautiful mountains, big mountains.
Miss Alofa is an activist and the national coordinator of the Kiribati Climate Action Network. She's in Alaska in the US North for a conference with First Peoples from around the world, focusing on climate-forced displacement.
We have different impacts and different stories, but it's just one story. And our story is, we have a problem.
Kiribati is known for being on the front line of climate change. Scientists suggest most of the Coral Atoll country could be uninhabitable within decades, and the government has an official relocation policy for what might be the world's first climate refugees.
Everything around me that makes me as a Kiribati is my environment. My songs, my dances, or my culture is related and connected to my environment. And if it's not there, then who is me?
Across the Pacific Ocean and around 47 hours in transit away, the stories are very similar. Richard Taluk is an Indigenous Alaskan and the mayor of Chevak Village in Alaska's southwest coast.
My community is identified as one of the environmentally threatened communities because of our flooding situation.
Chevak has documented significant coastal erosion, and Mr. Taluk says storm surges and rising seas are increasingly frequent.
We're flooding more. We usually had at least once every fall, but they seem to be occurring more and more and getting worse. We had to relocate twice from the coastal area.
And unlike in the Pacific, Alaskans are also contending with melting permafrost, frozen soil that used to remain all year round, but is now proving to not be so permanent in the warmer months. The conference is organised by the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee, and it's brought together Pacific leaders with activists from Bangladesh and the United States.
For the South Pacific Islanders, we're learning a lot that we have similar conditions, but dealing them with that kind of a different way within those environments.
Ms. Alofa says Indigenous communities around the world can learn from each other.
We have to build our own resiliency because we have the knowledge, we have the skills. It's our traditional knowledge and skills.
Rachel Gore-Fried is the vice president of the committee.
A few community members wanted to meet and strategize across geographic locations and understand and learn the tools that people have been using to address climate-forced displacement.
While the meeting in Alaska has been underway, diplomats have been meeting in South Korea to debate a draft report from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. Lead copies of the draft report suggest the world is far from being on track to keep global warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius, and that urgent and dramatic action is needed to stick to the target. For Mr. Taluk, the action isn't coming quickly enough.
The communities that are the front line of the climate change are experiencing it now. It is real. And then the things that we're experiencing are going to trickle down